My spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. The psalmist David, his heart is overwhelmed and desolate because of something that happened in the prior verses. That's why he says the word therefore in the beginning of the verse. And verse 3 is the main reason, I believe, why David says he is desolate and why he's hurting. Because verse 3 says, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Somebody is causing serious heartache in David's life, which is why David said what he said in verse 4. And if I was to give a classification, or even a diagnosis even, I guess use that word, of what David's going through in verse 4, I believe it would be considered a state of despondency. A state of despondency. What does it mean to be despondent? According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, despondency is defined as losing courage at the loss of hope, sinking into dejection, depressed and inactive in despair. So we see here that David, he is despondent, he is desolate, he is hurting because something that happened in verse 3. So I'm just going to get right into it this evening for sake of time. I want to spend a few minutes looking at this matter of a despondent heart, a despondent heart. Now, let me give some reasons why someone would have a despondent heart, a loss of hope, a losing courage, sinking into despair or dejection. What would cause someone possibly have a despondent hope? And we're going to look at all different Bible characters or Bible references for that. Number one, the first reason why someone could have a despondent heart is because of an overwhelming situation. Look at Numbers chapter 11. We're going to use the Bible here tonight. Numbers chapter 11, verses 14 to 15. People become despondent because of an overwhelming situation. Numbers 11, verse 14 to 15, if you would. This is Moses talking, and he says this, talking to God. "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." Now, I know all these verses, you don't see the word despondent mentioned, but the definition or the characteristics are there. Moses here, he's despondent. He has lost hope because the burden of caring for all those people in the wilderness was too much for him. So some people get despondent in our lives. Despondency can happen when we're overwhelmed. The situation is too big, too much stress. We bit off more than we can chew, or something is too big for us type of situation. That can cause us to get despondent, burdened down, weary, depressed, losing hope type of situation. Number two, another reason it causes despondent heart. People become despondent when bad things happen, even when they are doing right. When bad things happen, even when they are doing right. We'll look at Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 to 7. So people become despondent when bad things happen, even when people are doing right. Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 to 7. "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads." Excuse me. "And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan." Let me explain these verses, if I can, briefly to you. To understand what's going on here, the people of Israel have just crossed over the Jordan River. They're in the promised land, the land that God has promised them, the land of Canaan. It's the land they've been praying for hundreds of years, that God promised all the way back when Abraham was alive. And here they are, and most know the story. They go into the land of Canaan. The first battle is the battle of Jericho. They circle the city there one time, 6 days, 7 days. They circle it seven times, and they blow the trumpets, and God makes the walls fall down flat. Most know that wonderful story. Man, praise God, we got the victory. The second battle they face is Ai. And here in the second battle against Ai, the people of Israel lose the second battle. 36 Israelite soldiers are killed in this battle, according to Joshua 7, verse 5. And so in verse 6,
Joshua is in despair. I mean, he's beside himself. And in verse 7, which we already read, those two verses there, he starts talking to God, and I'm going to paraphrase, if I can, what he says to the Lord. He says, God, you brought us over into the land of Canaan. We followed your orders, and yet we come here, and you're killing us. It would have been better off if we decided to set up our lives on the other side of the Jordan River, where we weren't in the land of Canaan. At least we would not be getting killed. By the way, this is the same Joshua, the same exact Joshua who, along with Caleb, was one of the two spies who went up against the other 10 spies, the 12 spies that went there with Moses and over there in the land of Canaan. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, yes, we can do it. God can give us the victory. But here Joshua is overwhelmed. He is in a situation of despair, if you will, a despondent heart. And obviously we understand why it happened, because of Achan's sin, but Joshua did not know that yet. He had no idea. So again, a despondent heart can happen when, man, I'm doing right. Joshua was doing everything right. He's serving God. He's following what God said. He did everything right. He crossed the Jordan River, exactly what God said to do, with the Ark of the Covenant there. He circled Jericho there like he was supposed to do. He did everything right, and then failure happened. That can cause a despondent heart. God, why is this happening in my life? Let me give you a more present-day example. I was reading today a missionary, letter or a pamphlet from a missionary named Dan Johnson. Dan Johnson is a missionary for 45 years down in Brazil. And when he started 45 years ago, back in 1974, I wasn't even born yet, when he started back there, him and his wife went over to Brazil in 1974, and God had called him to be a church planter over in Brazil to start different churches, or so he thought. And in the article, it says this about Dan Johnson, the biography, it says this about him. They went to Jaranopolis, it's a city over in Brazil, to start a church. They worked feverishly for 12 months in this new church plant, but Dan quickly realized the Lord had not given him the gifts of a church planter. Yet God had called him to Brazil. Was God wrong? That's what how the article reads. He's despondent. His heart is, he is in a situation, he's losing hope. God, wait a minute. I've done everything right. I have been on furlough for a deputation for three years, raising support. My wife, at the time when he went there, his wife was 7 months pregnant with her second child, and their first child was 2 years old, and they moved to a brand new country, not state, but country, all on their own type of situation. And they go there and obey God, and all of a sudden God says, and as things happen, it's been a year in a church, and the church starts to fall apart. God, why is this going on? Why is this happening? I am doing everything right. That can cause a despondent heart. And you read later in the article, if you finish the article, that he finds out that God had equipped him to be a second man. Pretty much Dan Johnson spent his life in Brazil helping other missionaries. He's doing a great job, fantastic job. But again, in the beginning, a despondent heart. Now, I'm going to give answers here how God can help us with these. I'm just giving you different situations that cause a despondent heart. Number three, a third way of reason why people become despondent is because of health reasons. Health reasons. Go to Isaiah 38, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 38, verses 1 to 3. Says this, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's pretty stern words coming from the prophet. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. As we know here in this verse, Hezekiah was told by the prophet Isaiah that he's going to die because of his health. Obviously, he begged God to heal him, but at this point, he was in heavy tears. As far as he knows, he's going to die. Folks, if you have your health, thank the Lord. Thinking of Miss Lisa back there, who's doing good tonight, but she could probably tell you she's been through a spell of health issues. we are blessed to have our health, and we take it for granted, I believe. If you lose it, you'll understand how much you did take it for granted when you do lose it. So again, when health issues can cause a despondent heart, losing hope, in despair. Number four, a reason why people become despondent is when they lose someone in their life. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, if you would. Luke 24, verses 16 to 20, if you would. Luke 24, verses 16 to 20. Luke 24, verses 16 to 20. It says at the beginning of verse 16. But there's some of the disciples now, and they're walking with Jesus Christ. They don't know it's Jesus, though, at this time. Luke 24, verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him, referring to Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus Christ, said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, and as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And verse 20 says this, And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Briefly, what's going on here? Here's Jesus. The disciples are walking with Jesus Christ. They have no idea it's Jesus Christ. Think he's a stranger. All the disciples know is their Savior has been crucified. He's dead. Their heart's broken. They're sad because of it. And they explain to him that why they're sad, because of the loss of Jesus, the loss of their Savior. The fifth reason, number five, a reason why people become despondent is because of other people treating them poorly. People become despondent when other people treat us poorly. And go back to Psalm 143, if you would. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, verses 3 to 4. It says this, For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Again, you notice here in verse 3, David refers to the enemy in singular, almost like it's a single person. And let me say this, folks. One person can cause another person horrible heartache. In David's situation, it could have been Absalom, his son. It could have been King Saul. We don't know who it was, but we understand one person can make another person's life miserable if they so desire to do so. So again, we can become despondent when we're overwhelmed and the stress level is high. We can become despondent when bad things happen when we're doing right by God. We can become despondent when our health is poor. We can become despondent when we lose someone who is important to us in our lives or that person dies. We can become despondent when someone treats us poorly. Again, despondent, losing hope, losing courage. Those are ways people get despondent. And folks, listen, all of us, if we're honest, we probably raise our hand at least one or more of those times we became despondent in our own lives. We lost your health. We lost someone important. When someone treats you very poorly, when you're doing right and bad things happen, and on they go, those different lists I mentioned. So looking at these situations, I want to go back to all of them real briefly and kind of, if I can, how can we deal with them? How can we get through them? I want to help you tonight, my friend, because all of us have gone through these or will go through these or are going through them right now. How can we get help from the Lord when we go through these states of despondency? Number one again says, people become despondent because of an overwhelming situation. There's too much stress. You're not prepared. You can't handle it. You're going to pull your hair out. We looked at Moses. You remember when God gave him the task of leading the millions of Israelites through the wilderness. In this situation, we see here first that Moses, he talks to God. We read that back in Numbers 11, verses 14 to 15. The first thing he does is talks to God. Don't forget that, my friend. The first thing he does is go to God. Then we see in the situation that God provides help to Moses by bringing other people to help him. You don't have to turn there, but you want to go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. I'll read Numbers 11, 17. When Moses goes to God saying, God, kill me, when he said, God, kill me. This is too much for me. In Numbers 11:17, God responds to Moses this way. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. In this example, God brought other people to help Moses. Folks, listen, let me tell you something. I am always shocked when God's people refuse other people to help them because of their pride. I don't need to ask anyone else for help because I'm too proud, and you deal with a load bigger than you can bear. We all do that. Too much pride. I'm not going to ask someone else. Praise God, Moses, listen. I would kill them. Other situations, God might give you the grace to get through situation. It's too much for you to bear. God will, maybe you ask for help, and help, no help comes, and he gives you the grace to get through. God might work a miracle to solve the problem. Do that too. And maybe God might just not do anything for a while, until you learn to say, God, I'm giving this burden to you and trust that you can get me through. I beg you for help from this people or this situation. Nothing's coming. I know you're not giving me more than I can handle. So, Lord, please, I'm going to give this to you. Sometimes we don't give the burden to God, again, because of our pride. Some of us folks, I'm telling myself as well as you tonight, we need to take Psalm 55:22, write on a note card and put it all throughout our house. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast your burden upon God, and he'll get you through. Look, folks, just saying, God, would you help for 2 seconds isn't always casting your burden upon God. You trust him. Look, that's how I check. When I'm putting my burden upon someone else to help me, man, I'm praising God for that person. I'm involved with that person, making sure they have my burden. They're doing okay. And obviously, God can do anything. I'm not saying God is limited. My point is, hey, when you cast your burden upon the Lord, it's more than just saying, God, would you help? Hey, it's getting this precious Bible. It's spending time in prayer. It's trusting he will and obeying him, knowing he's going to get you through. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. But again, I'll say it one more time with the issue with Moses. God's answer to Moses' problem was through other people. Folks, don't let your pride get in the way of asking other people to help. By the way, I remember one time someone said this to me. Someone wanted to help me one time back when I was way, way back for something, I don't know, wasn't a big deal, maybe a few dollars, whatever. I said, no, I'm okay. Pride, my pride. And the person said this to me, I'll never forget. Said, Brother Minkowski, let me help you. Because if you don't let me help me, you're robbing me of being a blessing to you. So true. People want to be a blessing to you, man. Don't be an island. Some folks are an island to your detriment. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Number two, people become despondent when bad things happen, even when they are doing right. We looked at Joshua and the Israelites who were in the land of Canaan. Remember, they went over there, they followed God. They went through the situation of Jericho. Everything was done exactly as God had ordered it, to a T. To a T. And yet, 36 casualties happened in the Israelite army. 36 men are killed. Now, obviously, Joshua didn't know at that time it was Achan. He had no idea. He said, God, why'd you do this? Despondent, in despair. God, I am serving you. I'm in church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing honoring my life. I'm reading, and you bring this to my life. Wait a minute. Why? Despondent. Despondent. Understand, God always has a reason for doing what he does, my friend. Sometimes we don't know why bad things happen in our lives. In this situation, again, we see with Joshua in verses 14 to 15, we read earlier, he was beside himself. But he finds out later from God the reason why God did what he did was because of Achan. Joshua 7:11 says this, God talking to Joshua, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Look, folks, listen, yes, one of the reasons why good things happen and bad things happen in good times is because of our sin. That's one of the reasons why, yeah. It could be because you sin. It's not wrong to say, God, have I done anything to cause a problem? Remember this summer when attendance was a little lower? I remember that very clearly. I guess I'm a pastor of church. I remember in the summer, the numbers were dropped a little bit. I mean there was one point we were in the 40s. I'd be in the 40s back in the pear tree. I'm like, what is going on? And we were doing everything we were supposed to do, soul and things of that nature. And first thing I asked the Lord, God, is it me? Lord, am I, Jason Moncosta, doing anything to cause a problem in this church? First thing I did. I must have quoted Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 over and over again. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way everlasting. I said over and over, I prayed that prayer almost every day. Lord, if it's me, please bring it to my attention. I don't want to be the issue in this church. So, yes, when you're doing good and something bad happens, check yourself. Lord, is it me? Very wise. By the way, it takes character to do that. Because if you're all caught up in sin, you're not going to be asking that. If you want to get right with God. But sometimes, so sometimes we know why bad things happen. We're doing right. Maybe some sin we get caught up, we didn't realize. But sometimes we don't know the reasons why God allows bad things to happen in our lives. I think of Job. Job 10, verse 1. Job says this. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Job 10, verse 1. He is upset. Put that lightly. As far as I know, until Job got to heaven, he never knew why God did what he did. So maybe you might never find out why, ever, when you get to heaven. So a good verse for you is Romans 8:28. Let me turn there real quick. Some of you know it by heart. Romans 8:28. Very good verse. I've been in this verse many times. I don't know why. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Great verse. God, why are you allowing this in my life? I'm doing right. He's doing it for a reason. His good, his glory. You've got to trust him. It might be the reason why. Just want to teach you to trust. Number three. The third reason why people become despondent is because of health reasons. Okay? Remember, we looked at King Hezekiah. For the most part, he was a godly king who was told by the prophet Isaiah he was going to die. In those verses there, he went to God and talked to him. But let me say this, folks. For starters, we know that God is a great physician. He uses doctors and medicine and technology for healing, and I'm all for those things. I praise God for those things in our country. But in the end, folks, it's God who brings the healing. Praise God, the reader had a good report from the doctor, but you know it was the Lord did that. God. The scientists won't tell you that. God. And praise God when he does. That's he praise him. By the way, thank you for praying for people when you get the text from me. I hope it doesn't tell me, oh, there's another one. I hope you get upset with me. Say, oh, another one from Brother Bunkowski. What is it? Listen, please pray for those people. I'm not trying to be annoying to you when I send those texts out. I want you to pray for them. I hope you do. I think you do. So sometimes, hey, God will heal, like he did with Hezekiah. What happens when he doesn't heal? What happens when you're like Paul, have to have a thorn in your flesh? And folks, listen, this is not a cliche. This is not anything to just brush off. In all seriousness, he's got to trust him for the future. Lean on him. He didn't heal Paul's thorn in the flesh, but he gave him the grace to get through it. He'll give you the grace to get through it, to smile through the pain. I'll get you through if you can. Number four, I mentioned a fourth reason why people become despondent is when they lose someone. Someone dies, someone in their life dies. I mentioned the two disciples over there in Luke 24, verses 16 to 20, when they're walking with Jesus Christ. Again, they had no idea it was Jesus Christ. Thought it was a stranger. And he's saying, why are you so sad? They're like, don't you know? Where have you been? They're saying, the chief priest, they had this mock trial, and they crucified our Savior. They're sad. They're despondent. They lost someone they loved dearly. And again, you know, I'm sure these disciples had heard the teaching from Jesus Christ that he would rise from the dead, but they probably were too focused on the logical, thinking people don't normally rise from the dead instead of the supernatural, that with God all things are possible. Well, yeah, it just so happens, as I was preparing this message today, yesterday I preached a funeral down over there in Hannibal, and we were talking to the people there at the end, at the graveside there, and told the people, I said, listen, the pain is overwhelming and hurting right now, as many people were crying, many teachers out, rightfully so. Someone they loved dearly, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother had passed away, and they were hurting desperately and dearly and deeply. I said, well, listen, God will heal the pain and replace that with the precious memories of the ones who passed away. And what's really comforting to know, my friend, if God brings death in your life, if someone who passes away, although it's never a pleasant thing, it's a horrible thing to go through, and I understand that time of it's a difficult time, I'll tell you this, my friend, if they're saved, you know where they are, and that brings comfort. We're gonna see them. Brother Dice said, and by the way, let me say this to you if I can. Brother Dice told me when I first found out Kelly had cancer, Brother Dice was the second person I called, second preacher I called. Pastor Angel Lewis. Called Brother Dice because his wife had died of cancer. And Brother Dice had found out Kelly has cancer. Of course, he wept with me, prayed with me. He said, Brother McCoskey, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to put salt in your wounds, but I promise you this. The times you walk with God, if God takes her home, are going to be so right. When you go through the valley, my friend, he's there with you. That's not a bumper sticker to dismiss. That's the truth. Times you walk with God are going to be so. I don't want to go through it. I don't wish on anybody. But if you do, please, if your loved one's saved, you know where they are. If you allow God, you have to allow him, not get bitter and close him out. Because many people do that. They blame him, and they shut out the one who can help them. And if you allow him to help you, it will be the sweetest time of your life. He'll get you through. And you'll get on the other side of the valley saying, that was the lowest thing I went through my whole entire life. I have no idea how I got through it. One thing I know, he was with me every step of the way, and your relationship with him increases tenfold. Don't want it, don't wish for it, not alone through. Number five, last one. The last reason why people become despondent, and I'm sure many more, I just gave five for sake of time, because of other people who treat them poorly, who treat it poorly. Again, we see here David. If you're back in Psalm 141, if you're not, I'll read it real quickly. Psalm 143, verse 1, he says this. Psalm of David, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. So he's asking God. He comes to God first. God, would you please help me? And in verse 9, he specifically asks God, please get rid of this person who's causing me heartache. Psalm 143, verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. If you look at the second half of the verse, he says this, I flee unto thee. Folks, do you understand? A lot of times God does things to teach us to run to him. Some of us have a coworker we don't care for, and that's putting it lightly. And you're forced to work with that person, they mock you maybe, or they do things that anger you, and they know they're doing it on purpose, and it irks you. And sometimes you say, God, would you please get rid of this person, if that's your will. Maybe God put them there to help, go closer to him, maybe to witness to him. For a reason. Maybe if he doesn't get rid of that person, give you the grace to get through, deal with it, or to witness through that. You can see your testimony through your acting right in spite of the turmoil you're getting from the other person. God give you the grace to get through whatever situation you're going through. And the person you're with is the person you care for. They're hurting you. In this case, it sounds like they're trying to kill David. Psalm 143, was that serious? God gave him the grace to get through. We don't know what happened to the enemy, the Bible doesn't say. But we know that we saw David saying, God help me. So I'm done this evening. So again, a definition of the state of despondency is despondency means, or being despondent, losing courage at the loss of hope, sinking into this dejection, depressed, and inactive in despair. Folks, but do you understand with God there is always hope? And by the way, in almost every single of those situations, all five of those reasons, in every one, the person they were talking to in the beginning was always God, going to him in prayer or talking to God directly. Like Moses talking to God, disciples talking to Jesus, David going to God in prayer. You know, when you're in a despondent situation, go to him in prayer. It's a good rule of thumb to follow. Always start with prayer all the time. And I promise you, my friend, God can get you through in his time, in his way, in every situation. No matter how despondent you are, there's always hope with the Lord. Always hope. Let me ask y'all, bow your heads and close your eyes if you will. I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but just I could. Challenges tonight, friend, and maybe you're in a situation like that, you were, or you will be going through a situation like that. A despondent heart, loss of hope. Always hope with the Lord, my friend. Don't shut him out. I have a word of prayer when I say amen. Have you all? Well, the invitation, encourage you to come use the altar tonight. Father, love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you again for your precious word. I thank you, God, for how good you are. Bless you. Help them be encouraged by what we heard tonight. Despondency, a lack of hope, discouragement is